For the next few minutes, I want to talk to you about learning how to worship. I know that I'm talking to the choir in some sense. We've been worshiping the Lord for quite some time, but we always can grow in our knowledge of worshipers. I meet a lot of people all the time, as you do. Over my life, I've met a lot of people, and I've kind of defined two different groups of people. There are the whiners and the worshipers. The whiners are able to complain and see something negative in everything and voice that. And the worshipers are able to look at their circumstances and see something positive and able to give praise to God. And I believe that worship is the key to releasing what God wants to do. And we're moving into the last couple of months of this year, moving into 2015. And it's imperative that we understand that worshiping God, revolving around Him, sets in motion everything else like a domino effect that He wants to do. So if our worship is not correct, then the work that we are called to do, the war that we're called to do, will not be effective. So I'm going to take the next 3 weeks to talk to us about worshiping. And when it's really learning to wait on God and to let Him have His way. It's we read in Acts where it says to wait on the Holy Spirit, it's not saying wait for Him to catch up with you and what you want to do. It's wait on Him so He can tell you what to do. We learn in worship that it's not about taking something. Don't take, but wait. Don't make something happen. Let something happen. So it's a learning process. And I'm going to talk with you, as I said, for the next 3 weeks. If you're taking notes, write this down. Everybody is wired to worship. Everybody is wired to worship something. Whether we embrace it or not, we're all people in all places at all times. Whether they have been or are in existence now or will come on the planet, everyone, we have this in common. We're wired to worship something. Your worship, you worship that which is placed at the center of your life. It's not a difficult concept, but we worship what is placed at the center of our lives. I'm not sure that we're even aware that we have a center many times, and I'm pretty sure that I don't always realize that what's at the center of my life actually determines what I do, what I think, where I go, all of my actions. But the truth is, we all have a center. And we need to ask ourselves, what's at the center of our lives? Now, at the center of my life may be something, but I know that there's other things that are close to my heart, close to the center. My wife is very close to my heart. My two boys are very close to my heart. My grandson's very close to my heart. This church, family, not this building, but these you, the people, you're very close to my heart. I apologize for coughing. I hope it won't distract from all that God wants to do this morning, because I'm really actually excited about this message. I told the Lord, I said, man, I'm so excited about this message, but if I can't give it, then what good is it? So He's going to have to communicate to you what I'm feeling in my heart, even though my outward body may not express that. you said that, didn't you, Lois? Okay, I am well. I am well. I'm speaking that right now. I am well. When you put something at the center of your life, it continues to come back to your thoughts. It doesn't stay away very long. It's on your mind. I think about Donna all the time. I think about my boys. There's not a day that goes by that I don't think about my grandson. I think about you on a regular basis. When something is at the center of your life, it begins to reveal itself in those types of ways. It's what motivates you. I got up, not this last night, but two nights ago, I got up in the middle of the night because I felt like I was supposed to pray for the church, because the church is near to my heart. I got up. I didn't want to get up. I had to argue, to be honest with you. But you sure this is, you want me to pray for the church? church. Yes, I do. Okay, so I got up and I prayed for the church. So it wasn't real great desire in my flesh, but my spirit wanted to pray. Why did that happen? Because the church is close to my heart, near to my heart. When you put something at the center, it begins to affect you in ways. At the life, at the center of a Christian's life is Christ. For the Christian, Christ is placed at the center of our lives because he's worthy. There's a guy by the name of Israel Houghton. You may have listened to some of his music. He and two friends wrote a song entitled Jesus at the Center of It All. And it captures really what worship is all about. Because our worship that we do is all about Jesus. It's all about God. One of the signs of true worship, whether it take place here or other places, and we know, don't we, that worship is not restricted to a place. It's not where you worship, but it's who you worship. I like John chapter 4 when the Samaritan woman tried to get him, Jesus, off topic because he was prophetically speaking into her life. And she says, should we worship on this mountain or this one? I've been told, he says, hey, there's coming a time when you won't worry about the place that you worship, because it's not about geographical location. It's about who you worship. And for the Christian, we put Jesus in that place, not because we have some need and we have to see something that's not real. No, Jesus is very real. He's worthy of our praise. Some people say he's your crutch. Well, he's the only crutch that's never broken for me. And so he is placed at the center because he's worthy. And Israel Houghton writes this song, and here's the words to the song. Jesus at the center of it all. From beginning to the end, it will always be, it's always been, you, Jesus. Nothing else matters. Nothing in this world will do. Jesus, you're the center. Everything revolves around you. I mean, that's what worship is all about, when Christ is at the center of your life. David said it this way, for all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, he says, all you families of the nations, ascribe to the Lord the glory and the strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory, do his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. David understands who God is. And when you begin to understand who he really is, the creator of all, you put him in the center of your life. Paul puts it this way, Colossians 1. The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. In him all things were created, things in heaven and things on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or authorities or rulers, all things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and he is in him all things hold together. He's the head of the body. He's the pastor of this church, not me. I'm just a little boy. I'm his gopher. He tells me to go here, say this, say that. I try to do the best that I can. Sometimes I don't measure up, but that's what I'm all about. He's the head of the church. He's the pastor of the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that everything in him, he might have supremacy. See, that's who's at the center of a Christian's life. When you talk about worship, all sorts of images may come into your mind. We conjure up certain pictures, but simply expressed, worship is the declaration that of God's worth. It's his worth. Yeah, the word worship comes, many of you know this, from an old English word which means worth-ship. Worth-ship. So that means that we don't worship God for what we can get, because it's all about him. Some people come to God when they have needs because they want something. I know what it's like. Maybe you two parents do as well. When your kids come to you and Drew, my grandson, he's 8 years old. He'll do this all the time. Just the other day, Poppy, I love you. And I love those words. I really do. I love to hear them. But I know. And the reason he said that is he wanted me to get him a game on the iPad. It cost $2.99. He always starts with, Poppy, I really love you. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, well, he's coming with motives that's for him. Our worship revolves around God, and because of who he is, he's worth our worship. And it's not for what we can give, but for who he is. Now, we need to understand from the get-go that there's a difference between the expression of worship and the essence of worship. The expression of worship and the essence of worship. Now, we just sang some songs, and I felt like we had a little taste of heaven. I've been in some very good times where the Lord's presence was revealed, and today I just taste a little bit of heaven. We actually worship God. I wasn't a part of those who chose the songs that we sang, but all of those songs revolve around Jesus. And that's one of the signs that worship is happening, when Jesus is exalted. When his fruit is present, there's joy, there's peace, there's love, there's goodness, there's gentleness, there's faithfulness, there's self-control. The fruit of the Spirit will be there. That's a sign of his presence. When people start to be touched, when they see something is happening, that's a revelation that worship is taking place. Because when people see, remember in Acts, where the disciples were sharing and the magistrate says, man, these people have not even been to school and yet they speak with intelligence. And they says they recognize they had been with Jesus. See, when you've been with Jesus, true worship happens and people get touched. So some of the signs that true worship is happening is Jesus is exalted, the fruit of the Spirit is evident among us, and there's people being touched by that presence in a way. But we need to know that the expression of worship is one thing, the essence of worship is another thing. The expression of worship is outward, the essence of worship is inward. So when I sing a song like we did this morning, and I start to cry or I start to weep, it's not the singing that's worshiping, but it's that expression of worship that causes the encounter with God. Does that make sense? So worship doesn't take us into the presence of God. Worship is being in the presence of God. Worship is encountering God. Now, I have a love for Donna. I've been with her for 40-plus years now. She's close to my heart. I've already said that to you. And she knows that, and I know that. But when I express to her certain statements of love, I do certain things for her, that opens up doors for an intimacy and a connection to happen. I'm not just talking about sexual relationship. I'm talking about an inner level of relationship that takes place. Whenever I express my love to her, that's what we do. We can express our love in service. We can sign up for childcare. We can sing songs together. We can stand and raise our hands. I sometimes will kneel, as I did in the first service this morning, felt touched by the Lord. I didn't kneel because I had to. I knelt because I wanted to. I love you, Lord, and I want to express myself. So expressions of worship are very, very important because they lead us to the essence of worship, which is this internal experience with God. I call it an encounter with him. Sometimes the encounters are very large. I can remember a number of encounters. I won't share them with you, but I was thinking, when have I encountered you, God, in the past? And I listed, within a 60-second period, I listed 15 times where I've notably involved myself with God. And I could come up with more times, but I remember those times. But there are a lot of encounters I have with God that I don't remember. But it happens and it begins to transform me. See, it's possible to express your worship and not experience worship. It's possible to come and sing songs together. It's possible to hear a song and start to even cry because you're emotionally moved. But it's different. Being emotionally moved is not being spiritually moved. See, I've watched movies that are secular movies, good movies, wholesome movies, but they've caused me to cry. My wife makes me watch Hallmark movies for the Christmas season. So I'm really looking forward to this season coming up. And I get some onions out and I pretend that I'm crying. You know, I put them in my eye for her benefit. So, but that's not a spiritual move. The spirit is deeper than our emotions. But those things type of happen. So we need to keep in mind that there's an expression of worship, but there's an essence of worship. One is external, the other one is the internal. But let me tell you, folks, if you are expressing yourself in worship and you are having an encounter internally with God, it will reveal itself. You know, there was in the New Testament, says, if you don't praise me, the stones will cry out. Because when worship really happens, it you cannot contain it. Because once you've touched the presence of God, you are changed. And it'll begin to affect the way that you deal with your life, the way that you live sexually, the way that you think, the way that you deal with your finances, the way that you handle your household. That encounter with God, when you have that essence of worship that takes place, it will be expressed in some different way. Well, having said all that, I want to become a worshiper. I want to learn how to worship because even though I don't call on God to get something, I want to be like David. I want to seek your face. Sometimes I do need a hand. Sometimes I do need you to do something. But more often than not, I want to just come into your presence and seek you. That's what worship is all about. I lay down my agenda at the door. And I come and I say, God, today I want to spend a little bit of time with you. I got about 5 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe 30 minutes, whatever time I have. I want to seek your face. Please reveal yourself to me. When you take some time to be with him, your relationship begins to grow. Because why? You're deciding to make him the center of your life. You don't just get up and assume that you can do your day the way that you want to do it and how you want to do it and without his strength. And you call on him. God is looking for, we're told, actually John 4 says, he's actually seeking people who will worship him. The word seek there is a interesting term. It's an in-depth search. After first service, Silverio, a good friend of mine, wrote to me and it says, he didn't say anything, but he just gave me this scripture. 2 Chronicles 16:9. I think maybe, Andrew, you are alluding to this. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. John 4 says he seeks those who will worship him. That he's actually seeking. It's this in-depth search. It's almost like the Amber Alert when it goes off. I don't know what phone you have, if you have a phone, but mine, you can't stop that. That comes through, and I want it to come through because when it comes through, it gives me an opportunity to pray for that person. But they want to find that person who's been kidnapped or is now missing. And that's the way Jesus is saying, I'm looking like that for someone who will learn how to worship. So let me give you three things about worship that's very, very important for us to know. And the first thing is this. If you're going to worship God, you have to worship him in spirit and in truth. You have to worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:23 says that. Let's talk about truth because there is an absolute truth. Whether we want to embrace that or not, there is a right, there is a wrong. There is a truth, there is an error. The very first illustration of worship is presented in the fourth chapter of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. Adam and Eve have some children, two of their sons, Cain and Abel. They offered some worship to the Lord. Here's what they said, Genesis 4:3. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So we have two people here now. They're bringing an offering. They want to worship God. And so they bring an offering to him. And God says, no, this one I receive, but this one I don't. We don't have time to talk about the meaning of that in the historical background, but there was definitely a difference. One was a right way of approaching God, and one was a correct way of approaching God. He received one, and he rejected the other. Cain got ticked off. It says he was angry. Verse 6, why is your face downcast? God said. He says, if you do what's right, will you not be accepted? See, sometimes we want to worship God the way we want to worship him. We want to worship him when we want to worship him. I don't want to get up in the middle of the night. I want to worship you 8 to 5. Call me in those hours. No, no, we want to worship him when, how, and where we want to worship him. No, sometimes God wants to be worshiped at other times. And so we have to say, what is the right way to worship him? It has to be based upon truth. So many people, I hear people in this culture saying, well, I view God as this. And they share their opinion. There's a lot of opinions out there about God. But if you're going to be a true worshiper of the living God, you have to find out who God really is. And he does have an opinion about the way you live your life and the way I live my life. He does have an opinion about the things that we allow our eyes to see and allow the things that we allow our ears to hear. He has an opinion about those things. Do you really want to know what he thinks? If you do, you're on your way to becoming a worshiper, because you've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. But that word spirit there in John chapter 4, 23 is not talking about the Holy Spirit, but he's talking about your spirit. See, God gave you and me a body, soul, and spirit. And our spirit is what God brings back to life. When we reject God, our spirits die. And when we receive Jesus, if you're here today and you have never worshiped God, you've never given him the right to be at the center of your life, then if you decide to do that today, he'll breathe into you life in your spirit. And your spirit will then begin to transform your soul, your feelings, and your thoughts, and your will. And then he'll begin to transform your body, the practical area of your life. But it starts in the spirit. And your spirit was made to communicate with God. It's that it's the, where the real you is. So you've got, he's saying, you've got to worship not just in truth, but you also got to have authenticity. You've got to be authentic. You've got to be real. You can't come into God's presence full of lies and full of deception. You've got to come into his presence with truth. Romans 10, 1 and 2 says this, brothers and sisters, man, I have a heart and I have a desire and a prayer. I pray to God for the Israelites so that they can be saved. But I testify about them that they have a zealousness for God, but their zeal is not based upon truth or based upon knowledge. And sometimes we can call on God and we don't have truth or authenticity. And God rejects hypocrisy. Matthew 15, 8 through 9 says this, the people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And here's what he says, in vain they worship me. It's possible to come into a place like this and sing, as I was singing this morning, and touched by God, touched enough so that I needed to kneel before him and ascribe to him the glory that's due his name. But it's also possible to come in and just sing words from our mind. And if you're no Spanish, it was kind of nice to sing in Spanish. We need to do that a little bit more. We need to sing. It's nice to sing the words, but it's possible just to sing the words from our mind and nothing happened inside. Because we're living like we want to Monday through Saturday, but when we come here, we put on this facade and we try to worship. See, worship is more than that expression. It's the heart. It has to be involved in the heart. So, number one, if we're going to be a true worshiper, we have to have truth. And number two, we have to be authentic. And the third thing is, he accepts and is pleased to receive a worship that comes from your spirit, soul, and body, from all three aspects. I want to talk more about that next couple of weeks, but because worship that happens internally is definitely going to be revealed practically. That's why in Romans chapter 12 says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I mean, I've been to some churches and all you do is you stand or you sit. You never should laugh. You should never do anything except what's told you to do. But there are times when we kneel and when we stand, when we hold hands. There are various things where we express. We encourage not just to listen to a group of singers sing. It's not a concert. Some of you don't have very good voices. And today, I tell you, I definitely don't have a good voice. I can't belt it out. But I try to sing anyway, you know what I mean? Because I know that in singing, it's an expression of my worship. And I think, I don't know if you mentioned it this service, Andrew, because I was back then, I wasn't listening to you. But hey, I'm just saying that because I know you're not listening to me now, so I hear you. You know, you love to hear the sound of your kids. You know, did you share that in the service? Yeah. What did you say last time? Tell me.
Madeline sang a song about me.
And what was the song?
You're my superhero.
You know, can you imagine your little kid coming out and say, "You're my superhero," and that's the way she was singing to him, kind of like Drew. You know, "Poppy, I love you." And then you find out they want something from you, so it doesn't just squelches it. What did Michael Jr. say? It just comes to me now. He says, "I was so proud of my young boy. He's 5 years old." I said, "What do you want to be, honey?" And he says, "I want to be a doctor." And the old man, he just, oh, wow. He was just so excited. He wants to be a doctor. And he says, "Or a hippopotamus." You know, kind of takes away the glamour. When you worship God, there's a promise that he'll commune with us. Psalms 22:3 says, "You are holy and you're enthroned in the praises of your people." The old King James says, "You inhabit the praises of your people." I am firmly convinced that God wants to visit people with his presence and do some phenomenal things in their lives. But he doesn't want to just have a visitation. He wants to have a habitation. David, let me build you a temple. No. I'll let your son do it. But see, a temple can't hold Jesus. He tells the people, "You'll tear down this temple in 3 days, but it'll come back again." Because it's not a building, it's a person. It's not where you worship, it's who you worship. And when you worship Jesus, there's this promise of communion, this promise of his presence being with you. And that is something, my dear friend, that I long for more and more and more. And they sang about it today. As we sang those songs, I said, "Oh God, help us to experience your presence. Help us to learn what that's like, what that means." See, in one sense, the Bible says that God's omnipresent. You can't get away from his presence. Psalms 139, where do you go? If you go high or low or east or west, he's there. There's no place you can go outside of his scope. But in the scriptures, he says, "If two or three gather together, I'll be with you." Well, okay, God, well, what does that mean? Because you've already said you'll be with us. "Lo, I'll be with you always." You're all around. You see, sometimes we get blinded to the fact that God's around us. We get blinded, but don't use your blindness as to think that there's an absence of his presence, because he's always here. He was here long before you got here this morning. We don't really invite him into this place. We've been invited into his place. But having said that, there's a what some people call a revealed manifestation of God's presence. It's like you see the clouds and you know it's raining, but when that cloud comes over here, all of a sudden it pours on you. That's a unique manifestation of God that only happens to worshipers. You can go weeks and months and years never having the rain of the Spirit on you. But when you truly worship God, oh, that's the thing that we've got to learn. Joshua says, "You've never been this way before. 2015 is ahead for us. We've never been in the month of November 2014. We've never been in December 2014. We've never been in 2015. So how do we know which way to go? Worship. Stay behind the Lord. Wait on him. Don't get ahead of him. Don't try to take anything. Don't try to make something that you want done. No, wait on the Holy Spirit. Call on the name of the Lord. Exalt Jesus Christ. Make him the center of your life. And he will instruct you in the way that you should go. He will tell you. You won't be late for anything. He'll make sure that you are guided to the right place. I'm going to ask Rachel and the team to come, and I'm going to ask them to lead us in that song, "I Will Worship You Again." And I want you to ask yourself some questions. First question, is Jesus really at the center of your life? Just think about that. Is Jesus really at the center of your life? We sing, "Lord, you're all I need, and I don't need anything else, I don't want anything else." But isn't there other things that maybe crowd him out? Maybe you're here today and you have never, in fact, made a decision to put Jesus at the center of your life. And this is an opportunity to join others. Steve, would you mind, Steve Soto, would you mind, I hate to embarrass you, it's easier to get forgiveness later than approval, but would you just stand? See, this young man just received Jesus a couple of weeks ago. He made a decision. Thank you. You may be seated. I rejoice, and he's not just one and only. There's a number of people who have made a decision. I'm going to put Jesus at the center of my life. If you haven't done that today, as we sing this today, why don't you do that? Why don't you just say, God, yeah, I've heard what the pastor said, and I don't know everything that he's really talking about, but I want to invite you to take the driver's seat in my life. I want to make you first because I'm not having encounters with you like that. And if encounters with the living God is possible, I wouldn't mind having a few. But see, there are some others here that might, when you ask the question, is Jesus at the center of your life? You may say to yourself, wow, I've noticed that I've kind of slipped and there's something else that's crawled up on the throne. What's that old joke? I mean, it's so old that, you know, no one even laughs anymore, but it's kind of like we have a living sacrifice. The problem with living sacrifices, they crawl off the altar. You know, we put Jesus in the center of our life, but if we don't check, sometimes we can crawl right back up onto the altar, the throne of our own life. So ask yourself some questions and make this commitment, because church, whatever is ahead for us as a congregation, whatever is ahead for you as a person is going to only be discovered by you as you worship God. So you can come and we can come and just spend time just going through the motions and doing it from our mind. Or we can say, God, I want to be a person of truth. I want to be authentic. I don't want to live one way in public and another way in private. I want to be authentic. I want to worship you with my spirit, with my soul. I want to worship you with my body. Every part of me belongs to you. And if we do that, I'm telling you, our future, it is going to be bright. We don't know what this next decade will do for our country. We don't know what year. I'll tell you, 12 months can change a country. And we need to be ready for whatever is ahead. And how do you get ready for that? The first step is learn to worship. Learn to worship. So that's what we're doing today, next week, week after. We're going to learn to worship. And let's just stand, make that commitment, deal with some business if you need to. I'll have Andrew come up and conclude at the end of this.
Let's sing this together, church. I will worship you. Here we go.
And I will worship you. And I will worship you. Yeah. Oh, I will worship you.
Almost. Spanish speakers, come on.
Yo te adoro.
We can all learn this. It's all easy.
Yo.